This weekend, the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra wraps up the season. And with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about that, Stephen Bias, who is the conductor and musical director. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure.
When I think finales, I think fireworks.
Well, there certainly are a lot of musical fireworks this weekend. It's a program that started, and I should say, I build my programs around the soloist. We choose a soloist, decide what the repertoire will be with the soloist, and in this case was Prokofiev Piano Concerto No. 3. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was Prokofiev's birthday, and I thought, well, that's close enough to create a theme around this. Why not? Let's do a choral work and do this mighty work, Alexander Nevsky, on the second half of the program. And instead of adding something orchestral at the beginning of the program, I asked the choruses, and we're using the Master Chorale and Schola Cantorum from the University of Arkansas, and Todd Prickett, their director, said he'd love to collaborate again, and I asked him to do an a cappella work at the beginning of the program, and we chose Pavel Chesnikov's Salvation is Created to begin the program. And so we begin in a rather beautiful, somber way, but then the fireworks, when this piano concerto begins, are apparent. And of course, Alexander Nevsky, one of the great epic, sweeping soundscapes of a work, and certainly one of the hallmarks of 20th century choral repertoire.
It has an interesting history from its namesake through the composition.
Nevsky is an extraordinary piece on so many levels that it was essentially a film score, mm-hmm. was remarkable. And in that vein, this relationship of the composer and the director of the film, Sergei Eisenstein, was so good that one of the few examples in cinematic history where some of the music was written before the scenes were filmed. Eisenstein believed in Prokofiev's ability to create ebb and flow in music and actually embraced some of the scenes of where the music was written, and he used it to pace and build some of his filming. And the Battle on the Ice, perhaps the culmination of the entire movie and the entire cantata as well, there is an extended section when the chorus, in this case, instead of singing in Russian, they're singing in Latin and singing some very interesting words that have their own history. But there's an extended section for the orchestra, which is an exact excerpt from the movie score. Such was the great extended nature of this scene, of this clash of the Russian people and the Swedish Teutonic Knights, that Eisenstein left it intact and extended what he had originally planned in filming, but Prokofiev leaves it intact also for the cantata. And it is, I think, the number one best example of musical cacophony ever written. We have this theme that's associated with the Teutonic Knights, and the instrumentation reflects this barbarism, using brass and percussion and very dissonant, discordant harmonies. And the Russian people who are fighting against these invading marauders, always represented by the strings and the woodwinds in rather folk-like materials. And when the Battle on the Ice begins, we hear these themes stated rather simply. But as the fervor begins to build, the music is astonishing, that we hear the Teutonic Knights theme in three different forms at one time, augmented in longer rhythmic values. All of this is giving the sense, musically speaking, of what it would be like to be in the middle of a battle, because then the folk materials will also come in different forms, all at the same time, in different registers and orchestrations with the winds and the strings, and it's absolutely brilliant.
What kind of conversations do you have with the musicians? Cacophony is an interesting word to use when you're talking about live music. Do you have conversations about, yes, this is – because it's a fine line between – if you're talking cacophony, it's a fine line between being too cacophonous and dissonant, but then also being representative of what the composer intended.
It's a great question. It contradicts what we do most of the time, our desire to blend and collaborate sonically, orally, is paramount. I'm fond of saying that we must have collaboration, or the opposite will be chaos. Cacophony, when it comes, is very close to chaos. It really does ride that line between being that frenetic activity where you have the sense that so many things are going on at one time versus a chaotic approach. And at the height of this fifth movement of Alexander Nevsky, the orchestra is going full strength. And it's a large orchestra with added instruments, a lot of percussion, and obviously to represent the battle, this very barbaric battle, there are some clashing sonorities and harmonies and just the idea. It's almost aleatoric, where like Charles Ives or someone, where you hear different aspects coming from different directions. And it is a fine line and a difficult balancing act for any conductor to try and make certain the chorus is heard and that each of these themes has its own prominence but still works so that nothing is obliterated, musically speaking.
During rehearsal, do you walk to different parts of the venue to hear how it's sounding?
I wish I could do that. Often there's so little rehearsal time that I don't have the opportunity, but I do this some of the time. Really, this is one of those pieces that is sonically overwhelming, and I mean that in a positive way.
Right, no.
The way it begins, the entire seven-movement cantata version of Alexander Nevsky begins, is very simple. And small melodic fragments of the Russian theme and the Teutonic Knights theme intertwined with one another. And it's the sounds that Prokofiev create are having the strings play ponticello, which means putting the bow almost right over the bridge. And it gets a very steely sound, which creates a cold sound. So the actual text painting of the words is prominent, and that's part of the brilliance of Prokofiev. But it is important to balance these very simple beginnings to these massive combinations later in the piece, and it is very helpful to go out into the hall. I rely heavily on ears put throughout the hall, turning around constantly and asking if the chorus can be heard. Can you hear the flute? Are the celli drowned out at this section? And it is a real balance game, especially when your rehearsal period is so short.
Mm-hmm. This is the finale. So, you know, I guess you don't have a chance to think about that when you're preparing, that this is the last concert of the season. It is a concert, right?
Yes, and I take each of these programs equally and consider them with their intent, in which I created them programming-wise, to have the same effect on the audience. Certainly here at the end of the year, this is a fitting concert because doing a choral collaboration is a different dynamic for our concerts, and I love and I'm committed to doing choral collaborations. But this program is just like any other that we do. In addition to Alexander Nevsky, we're doing the Piano Concerto No. 3, and it is a knucklebuster, I like to say. It has a lot of glissandi. I mean, literally, it is physically demanding, and some pianists will say it is the most physically demanding concerto they have to play. It's reflective of Prokofiev's prodigious talent on the piano. Some of the things that are written are fiendishly difficult, and any pianist who commits to doing the Prokofiev Third Concerto and who can do it well is indeed a wonderful pianist. We were originally scheduled to have Yura Mogulis, who is a professor at the University of Arkansas, collaborate with us, but he is indisposed because of someone who passed in his family. We're very sorry to not collaborate with him, but we hope we'll be able to schedule something in the future. I invited a friend, Jeffrey Beagle, who has as one of his signature works the Prokofiev Concerto No. 3.
Handy.
And he has performed this concerto countless times and is very fond of the work. And I knew that bringing him in at the last minute would ensure that the audience, the orchestra, everyone involved would have a wonderful experience with this extraordinary piece.
Well, congratulations on the almost completed season. Look forward to talking to you next year.
Thank you. I'm excited about the concert this weekend, and we're putting the finishing touches on next year's season. It'll be bigger and even better, so I'm excited to see you again and talk to you about each one of those.
You don't like to rest, apparently.
Oh, it's overrated.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.